Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of What Are You Talking About? Today, my guest is Gemma Raider. This year, she became fittest in Africa and partook in her rookie season at the CrossFit Games. After competing at a high level for many years, this was her first full Games season, and we talked a lot about the sacrifices and effort it took to finally make it. We also talk about competing over different regions, moving to Abu Dhabi, and all the experiences she's had in CrossFit thus far. Gemma is an incredibly interesting person, and I really hope you give it a listen and enjoy. I want to give a big thank you to one of our partners, Thirdsy, for fueling all our recovery and sleep needs. Their Sleepy Collagen really is the best in the game, and you can get yours for 20% off using the code WODSLEEPER at thirdsy.com. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to be the first to hear all about our new episodes and content. Enjoy. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. And yourself?
Yes, very, very well, thank you. Appreciate you coming on and chatting. Obviously, we've been messaging a bit back and forth, so it's really cool to get you on the show. It's a kind of odd time of the season. I'm gonna say that in inverted commas, because I think everyone's a bit unknown as to what the season's currently looking like. But we're towards the end of the year, technically off season. How are you? Like, how's life?
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster since the games. I feel like I'm only starting to feel about like myself now. I feel like there was an expected dump after the games in feelings and emotions, and you know, but it was obviously exacerbated by what happened. So it's been the weirdest few months, I guess. And like, yeah, so I feel more myself now than I did maybe even 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I'd say I'm starting to get excited for fitness and stuff again. But at some point it was just like, why am I doing this? You know? But on the up for the most part, I'd say.
That's good. And I think it's quite inevitable, isn't it, that that's going to happen. And I in previous years, I've spoken to people after the games and they've been like, oh, I don't really know what to do with myself now. There's this kind of weird lull. But yeah, especially this year, that's kind of, as you say, kind of tripled or multiplied in physically and a mental sense as well. Coming off the back of the games, I know, correct me if I'm wrong, you've done some kind of little local competitions to yourself over the last few weeks or so, some local things. Have you been able to enjoy being back in the community and being back into that kind of side of fitness?
Definitely the ones I've done have been really, I want to say casual, but there was like the one I did with Sarah Sigmund's daughter. So that was like, my mind was just, I was in the team with her and I'm like, oh my God, I'm in a team with Sarah Sigmund's daughter. And she's like the nicest human being. I can't fault her in any way. And she's just an absolute animal. Like, she goes to a place that I'm like, that was probably one of the most motivating things I've ever seen, you know, like just seeing how she digs and like, her drive and her resilience. She's just an amazing person and an amazing athlete. So that was like, that comp was really cool because I wasn't very fit. And it was quite funny because the guy who asked me to do it is Toby. Toby.
I can't think of his surname.
Yes. Either. Toby Buckland. I know him well. So Toby asked me like a couple of weeks after I did this other like really chilled cardio comp. Well, I say really chilled. It was, I had like Kalyan and Toby and my team and me and Evie. So it was like a strong team. But we did this cardio comp. And then after that, Toby asked me if I wanted to be in a comp with him and Sarah. And I was like, this is freaking cool. Like, yeah, okay. But then I said to him, I'm like, but listen, Toby, like I've been struggling with my, I've been getting sick really regularly, like off the back of the games, I was getting sick. Like one week I'd be fine. One week I'd feel sick. One week I'd be motivated. The next week I didn't want to train. One week I wanted to just eat everything. The next week I was like, it was just bizarre. So I was like, I'm doing bodybuilding. So I'm like, I'm not really feeling very fit right now, but I'll do it. And he was like, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be chill. Da, 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 da. There's like 15,000 dirhams we can win. So I was like, okay, fine. Anyway, I kind of tried to like up my intensity to like, you know, at least not die in the competition. And yeah, then 3-2-1 on the first day, it was like an assault bike workout. And Toby was, they were like saying with the strategy, we're going to go unbroken on this, unbroken. And I was like, we've kind of watched the previous heats. No one could go unbroken. They're like, no, but we're going to try. You know, it's not that hard. It's just a weight plate. Because it was like weight plate ground to overhead, weight plate lunges, and everything was synchro. And then it was max bike at the end. And they're like, we've got Luke. We'll smash this because Luke's a machine on the bike. And oh my God, I just, that was like one of the hardest, most intense things I'd done from like almost nothing and just bodybuilding. So it was a wake up call, but it was a really cool competition to like step into, to be like, okay, this is why I do this. Like, I love the community. Mm-hmm. I love the feeling. Yeah. So it was those two were probably the only, I've got another cardio one coming up now over Dubai Fitness Champs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll go to Dubai Fitness Champs, but just to do the fun cardio one, cause I didn't do the qualifiers or anything. And then that'll be me for until I guess next year, see what comes up. But yeah, we don't really know what the season holding, and I don't really know how I feel about like pushing for next season yet.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be quite a few people are in that same position. And I mean, so I've you know, come off the back of being at Rogue this weekend, which I'm sure you probably saw a lot of, and
so epic.
The conversation around next season is quite quiet, I think, is probably the way to put it. And I think a lot of that is because people don't know what to expect or what's going to come. How do you, as someone who obviously your world has been around the season for quite a few years now, how do you, like, are you even thinking about next year? Like, are you planning anything? Obviously, as you say, a couple of, you know, cardio competitions, but are you able to plan anything, or do you want to?
Well, I would say the first time, I've always trained really hard, but this year was the first time I actually decided I was going to put all my eggs in one basket with regards to training. So like leading up to, I'd say just after, maybe up to quarters, I was still working pretty hard. And like my work was more, I would say on par, kind of maybe just behind training, right? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just was like, if I want to qualify for the CrossFit Games, I need to drop clients. I need to focus on nutrition and sleep, and I need to go for recovery. I need to spend money on that and that and that. So I actually hadn't really done everything that I thought it would take to get me to the games in the past.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons, I didn't think I was good enough. I had a lot of holes in my game, and I was like, I hadn't have the confidence. The season before, I didn't have the confidence at all. So there were a couple of things that I knew had to shift if I wanted to like really push this year. And that was like obviously building my confidence and like doing all those things. And yeah, so this year was different. And it was hard when I look in hindsight now, but because I was so engrossed in the process, it didn't feel hard. But now I look back and I'm like, how the shit did I do that? Like, can I even do that again? I don't know. Do I want to do that again? If I don't, who's going to judge me? Am I judging me? Does it matter? Is that who I am? Like, so from that point of view, I'm trying to navigate what I want to see for the future. But with regards to competing, like, I definitely want to continue to do competitions. But is it necessary for me to give up so much for one? I don't know. Because essentially, it's a notch in your belt, and I got that notch. I'm not going to be the best in the world. I'm not going to be top 10 athlete. You know, I went there to the game because that was a goal of mine. I got that goal. Now, do I keep going back for more? Do I want to? That's where I am now. So that's where I lie with the confusion. And also, I'm not like a spring chicken. I've got like a future to think about that's outside of the gym, you know?
It's a really interesting concept, because I think you really nail it in what it takes to become a CrossFit Games athlete, right? And this, the sacrifices you have to make. And you're so right, to do it year on year on year,
don't know how,
must be exhausting. And even to kind of be at your caliber, you've obviously competed at a very high level for many, many years, without kind of going, right, I'm putting everything into it. So even that, how does that take its toll kind of in previous seasons where you haven't been like, right, I'm all in this year, everything's on the games. But previous years where you have competed at still a very, very high level, what kind of toll has that taken over the years?
Well, I think along the way, there's always that financial sacrifice because I've never been like a sponsored athlete. So, from that point of view, there's that. And then it's also like so many people are always quit. In my heart, I knew why I continued to train hard, but so many people were like, why? And then it's like you are then fighting the why of why other people are questioning you, but not necessarily wanting to admit your goals because it's like, what are the chances that you would actually make it? Like, I mean, I remember when I first started and I was watching the top girls in the country and competing against them in these local competitions in South Africa, and I was like, how are they so good? Like, how am I ever going to get to that level? And yeah, so like to have gotten to that level, like I'm extremely proud of the process and I can't fault it. And like yeah, it hasn't felt like, yeah, like now it hasn't felt like sacrifice until I'm trying to decide if I need to do something else. Then I'm like, oh shit, it is actually sacrifice, because if I'm not sacrificing, I'm not going to be where I want to be, but then I can't do anything else because I don't necessarily have the support structure that one needs to be at their best game. You know, like I live alone, I have a coach. I've actually just changed coaches, so I'm like online with a different coach who's been amazing so far. But like like in my in-person competitions, I didn't have a coach that came with me, and I look at all the top athletes and they all got their coaches there. They've all got, you know, like someone's carrying their bags, someone's, you know, doing their massage afterwards. I'm walking around the games, I'm like, wow, I'm like a poor person here, you know, like I don't have. So it's very real of what it takes to be the best, and I freaking take my hat off to those girls because I was so exhausted after semis. I don't even know how Tia has and Brooke and all of them have competed throughout the season. It's really amazing.
It's so interesting as well to hear from you saying that, because I think there is also a real illusion when it comes to CrossFit and the best athletes in the world, because we do see, you know, the likes of Tia and you know, obviously she makes a very good living off of being who she is and having this kind of athlete lifestyle. But actually that is really quite a small percentage of the top athletes. And there are so many people like yourselves who don't even take a coach with them or can't, you know. So do you kind of we'll go into the games a bit more in depth later, but when you've competed on these larger scale competitions and you have got that kind of comparison there in front of you, does it affect your own, like, I
Worth.
suppose, yeah, your own kind of imposter syndrome or anything like that going into them competitions, because you can kind of physically see the difference in they've got someone with them and I haven't, and I suppose obviously we don't see that from a spectator point because we don't see the warm-up area or anything like that. But when you're in it, does that affect you kind of when you then step on the floor?
Oh, 100%. Like, I've even had this feeling competing, not even competing, training with people that are supposedly better than me, or at least in my eyes, they're better than me. Like I will be beating them in a workout and I'm like, what's wrong? Why am I winning? Like, what's happening? Am I like going too fast? Am I gonna pop? So like definitely like there's that mental game. And I found at the games for sure, like I felt like it was okay for me not to do well because I'm like, I'm from South Africa. No one has an expectation of you. Like if I'm hurting, I don't really have to hurt because they don't think I'm gonna do well anyway. And that's like I couldn't that was my mind in that firestorm workout with the burpees and the bike. Like I just stopped hurting. Like obviously I was hurting, but I remember thinking like it's burpees and bike. Like I know I'm actually not bad on the bike, but I just like I don't know. Like I thought I'm not meant to keep up with these girls, you know? So yeah, and in a way, like I actually the first event, obviously it was what happened and it was terrible, but I actually liked the first event because there was no like people close to you, so you could just be in your own. And then I wasn't comparing myself. And then like if I ran past someone, I was like, oh yeah, I'm running past them. Or like if I swam past someone, I was like, flip, I'm swimming past them. But on the floor, I felt very different when it was like very focused in on people being able to compare you, and then you're comparing yourself. So I found that really hard, and probably still find it quite hard, like, to overcome that. I think for semis, I was confident enough in myself because I'd practiced the workout so many times. And that was probably the difference than like going out there without a plan, because I knew that I'd practiced so many times that if I just executed my plan as best as I could, if that was enough to win it, then cool. But if it wasn't, then that other person's better, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a really interesting perspective, I think. And it's one that I'm so glad you're sharing, because we don't hear it that often. And I think, as you say, you know, we're all guilty of it, you know, whether you're spectating or even like judging or whatever it may be, there is that comparison. And you're right, when you put people literally next to each other on a lane, and even the way the lanes are rolled out, you know, the top is in the middle and then it goes out to the sides, and it's all these little things that you don't think about. So of course it's inevitable that you're going to feel that. Do you ever kind of surprise yourself in them situations then, where you're kind of like, well, you know, I'm not taking your words, but you know, you're kind of thinking, well, I'm not going to beat these people, but then maybe you're in a position and you are. Does it kind of, you're like, oh okay, I've structured myself there, I'm going to carry on? Or do you kind of go, oh no, maybe I'll slow down a bit, like maybe I've gone too hard?
Yeah, definitely a bit of both. I've had both scenarios where I've experienced that, and it's part of the learning curve, right? And like when you have those like negative moments in your head, you think back to, for me personally, I try to note when I do that and then try not to do that in the future. But it's a lot harder though, because when you're in an uncomfortable space, your default is almost to like, or can be, to give up. So I do try and reflect on workouts that I have just done that in, and then think about those when I'm hurting and being like, no, you know. And then obviously the workouts that you win, or you know, when you maybe think you've gone out a bit hard, but you're like, shit, I'm just gonna try, you know, just gonna hold on, like I'm not dead yet, like I'll try push a little harder and see what happens. So yeah, I feel like it's very independent also obviously on what your confidence is like in movements. Like just as an example, for the semis, I had to do all the ring muscle ups unbroken, because I knew the girl who was literally in contention with me, I knew she was going to go unbroken. And obviously I knew that from competing with her in the past. So paying attention to your fellow athletes is also important, to know like kind of what their game is going to be. And I think like, I'd never really done that in competition before. And that was, I think, quite a, like a growth point for me, where I was more aware. And yeah, I managed to do them unbroken, but I'd never done that before. It was just like, I don't know. I think for me, I mentally rehearsed it like so many times that I was like, all right, you're going to get this. And that's probably one of my most proud CrossFit moments, because anyone who knows me, ring muscle ups have been like a struggle for like my whole CrossFit life. So yeah, it's just being aware really, and then trying to change where you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've delved quite quickly into current events, but throwing it back, what was your first kind of experience with CrossFit? When did you first discover the sport?
It was in my university town, where this guy, he was one of the fittest in Africa at one point, Dave Levy. He's still a master's athlete at the moment, and he has a gym in Port Elizabeth. And he came to my gym, my university, and he did like a demonstration of like, what is a power clean and what a CrossFit workout is and what is CrossFit. And I remember thinking, this is so cool, but mostly because of the intensity, and I used to like to get sweaty and stuff. And I was thinking like, that's really cool, I would do the sport. And then I looked up CrossFit, and then I just remember it was the year where Reebok, might have been Sarah's rookie year actually, or Brooke, I know it was maybe Brooke Ence's rookie year, because she, it was the purple and the orange, like those really bright Reebok colors.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Brooke and I was like, holy crap, this woman is built like a god. And I was like, I want to look like that. So I'm like, I need to do CrossFit, obviously, if I want to look like that. Little did I know that that doesn't work. You can't just do CrossFit and expect to look like Brooke. So that was like where I first saw it. And then this couple brought CrossFit to Grahamstown where I was studying, and then they needed a coach. So they kind of got me on board there and paid for my level one. And I worked there for 2 years, but did CrossFit very recreationally. It was like, it was always like, how hard could you go? That was only the thing I knew about CrossFit, and constantly varied, no structure really. And then I just got injured a lot because that's not the right way to do it, obviously. So I'd say my first like 5 years of CrossFit was me just getting injured because I was like stupid. But I loved it and I didn't stop.
I wonder how many people can relate to that.
Yeah, there was just not enough education around it back then, I don't think.
Yeah. And I think there's an element, I talk about this a lot because I find it quite fascinating, because obviously CrossFit has such a community feel, and it is one of the best things about the sport, undoubtedly. But I think there's also an element where it can be quite all consuming and you feel like you're going to miss out on things, and it becomes literally your whole life. And people also go through this real, and I'm guilty of it, and so many people I'm sure would agree, but this real honeymoon phase with it. And it's not necessarily the fitness thereafter, it's everything that comes with it. But in turn, you end up going full blown with the fitness, and then, like you say, get injured, or you know, that lots of things can happen. But it's funny that, like, even you who went in and was training up as a coach, and you were like, so you weren't potentially practicing what you were preaching.
No, but no one was, because our gym was so new. Like, the lady who started it, she like didn't know CrossFit either, really. She just did a level one. Yeah. And then I moved to a gym in Cape Town, and the two guys that owned it, they were like competitive, also very freshish in the sport. And then I was there getting my passport, actually, and I trained with these guys, and I was like, wow, if I want to learn anything about CrossFit, because there was periodization in the programming, and I was like, I need to come here. And South Africa is like we're behind, right? So like there wasn't a lot of good boxers or good athletes around, and I saw these guys and I was like, they look great. The one won like Fittest in Cape Town, and that was like the big comp back then.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to come here. So then I just asked them, and I got a job there, and I worked there for 5 years, and I learned like a hell of a lot. And then I came here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so you're in the UAE, which I've never been, I'd love to go, but from afar, the CrossFit community and experience in the UAE looks incredible. And it looks like there's so many opportunities and people there that do it. What's the biggest difference from, as you say, like South Africa being slightly behind maybe in CrossFit to going to the UAE? Like, what was the biggest difference for you moving and in CrossFit kind of circumstances?
So I would say one of the biggest ones is just the general lifestyle here. Like, you can afford to live a better quality life with a better salary in comparison to South Africa. Like, I think I saved for like 5 years in South Africa, and I made what I made here in like a month and a half. And that took me 5 years in South Africa. So like, yeah, living costs are really high, but then you can living costs are high here, but you can save if you work hard. Because like salary alone as a coach doesn't cut it. You need to do like training, personal training and stuff. But so that was like number one. I felt like there was just this, there was like an alleviation of like financial pressure.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. And then number two, I was like the only competitive-ish girl in my gym. There was another girl who went to regionals with me in 2018, and she was, I mean, a chartered accountant. So she had a full-time job, trained at 5 a.m. for maybe an hour and a half. And like, she was good and strong and used to push me, but like nothing like here. And here you just have it's such a melting pot of athletes with abilities, and then like really good competitions that pop up and that are like easily accessible. Yeah, there's like convenience companies like Meal Prep, which is affordable as well. Yeah, so there was just a lot of things that made living less stressful, and allowed you to have more time. And I think, yeah, training with really good girls was a big eye-opener, and learning to lose. Because like I used to be one of those, I'm gonna admit it, like a sore-ish loser. Like if someone beat me in an open workout, I would sit there on the side being like, don't beat me, like in my head. And then like if they were gonna beat me, I'd like didn't want to congratulate them, but I did. Like I used to be that person. And I overcame that when I actually got injured and I had to watch a whole open season. And then I was like, actually, who likes that person? Like you need to be the person that people want to have around when they compete. So like now I'll cheer for everyone. Like even if I'm competing against them, like I'm not maybe I'm too nice sometimes, but like, yeah, I'm trying not to, you know, if you win, you win. You did it, you know?
Yeah.
There's actually one video where at the games in 2022, when I was on team, where my boys were on the platform lifting. Well, one guy was, and I was watching with my other teammate, Martha, and we were like watching everyone lift. And I had spoken in the warm-up arena to this other team. I can't remember what the team was. I think it was a Mayhem team. And I chatted to the guy and whatever. And then he was doing his squat. So he made his lift and I was watching because my guy hadn't gone yet. And I was like, I got like excited. So I was like clapping my hands. And then the guy on my team, he just looked at me and he slapped my hands down. And he's like, don't clap for the other team. And it's funny because it's caught on camera. And it's like in the live stream. And then I got like inundated with like screenshots of this where I'm just like, after he like shoes my hands down, I'm just like this, like, you know, because I'm enjoying the team spirit of the whole games. Anyway, that was quite funny. So I cheer for people and I'm not sore loser anymore.
That's good. It's always nice to experience both, I think. But did you move with the intention to kind of take competing and kind of the athlete side of things a little bit more seriously as well? Or was it kind of just the, as you say, the kind of better lifestyle?
No, I would say like even when I had my interview, it was like I like training hard, but my goal is to be a better coach, and like I've obviously only heard good things about the gym, and I just wanted to learn from people, you know, and I felt like I'd learned all I could from where I was. So that was kind of what I came in with. And even I'd say for the first year, getting my own coach I left that part off. That was one of the biggest changes, because before I was just doing generic programming and that did not work for me at all, because you always like had something missing. Once I got that, I started noticing like things getting better, and I was like, oh, actually, you know, I'm getting a little bit better at this. And then one thing led to another.
And yeah, two games later.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Was it quite nice kind of to, obviously you just mentioned the team experience you had there in 2022. I'm such a fan of team competition. I sometimes prefer watching it to the individuals. I think it's such an incredible part of the sport and really encompasses so much about CrossFit. And for you, having that experience of your first games, and you know, as I said, we'll talk about this year's games, because like it's quite hard to be a true reflection of what CrossFit is. But having your first games and your first kind of full season at that kind of really high standard, having it with a team, like, was that really helpful and special, like to experience it for the first time with others?
Depends on if you want the truth or the...
I could see in your face you were like,
Yeah, I was like,
if you are happy to tell us the truth, you can absolutely.
Let's just say that like after doing a team, I was like, if I'm gonna want to do this again, I can't rely on anyone else but myself. Okay. So that was my thinking after the team experience, purely because the everyone had a different reason as to why they wanted to go to the CrossFit Games, and it wasn't the same as mine. Right. And that disappointed me a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I assumed everyone would have the same because, like, why else are we doing this? But that definitely wasn't the case. And I've kind of, like, gotten to the point now where so much time has passed where I'm like, maybe I was the problem, but I don't know whether I was the problem. So I'm not blaming anyone else. I think it's, like, just personality clashes and, lack of... We didn't have really, like, a coach. We didn't have a leader. So it was, like, each man for their own, making decisions and things happen very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Kind of too many cooks in the kitchen, everyone. Yes.
And we were very lucky at the semifinals because that was when none of the semifinals were programmed by CrossFit, only two events. Mm. So the way the Asia region was programmed that year was basically the two girls did most of their things and then the two boys did most of their things, or you did your own thing. And there was no, like, real teamwork. And the workout that we did have a real teamwork was the burpee one with the thrusters or the lunges. I can't remember what it was. And we fell apart. So it was very clear that, like, the team element was not there. But individually, we were all, you know, decent. It's hard to say because it was an amazing experience, but it could have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't really want that to be my experience alone of the games. However, I do think the Noble Games was better regardless of what happened, like just from the day before when everything started at the Texas one, like Noble was way better than Go Ruck. Oh my God.
Interesting.
I thought.
Yeah.
Personally.
Well, I heard that, yeah, people were saying prior to what happened this year that it was already not great, which is quite interesting. But I'm curious to know, obviously, as you're saying, you're not sure what your future looks like potentially at the moment, but has it ruined team experience for you? Like, would you consider going team again? Did it put you off for life or just for the games?
No, it hasn't definitely put me off for life because I've done, like, team competitions since then. It's mm-hmm. just I've learned to be there's certain things you need to look for that are kind of like non-negotiables in a team environment.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'd definitely be more discerning with who I decide to be on a team with. And that's what makes it hard, because I was even thinking for next season, I was like, well, if a team opportunity came up and it was the right one, I was like, I'd like that because I don't want to stop competing. I don't necessarily know how much pressure I want to put on myself. And also, like, I'm struggling to deal with, like, that disappointment if you don't make it. I'm like, I don't even know how to fathom that. And I'm like, do I even want to think about it to, like, make it a thing? Because it's not a thing. It's the future. We don't even know what it's going to hold. So... yeah, I feel like team could be, like, a nice way to, like, just mentally offload in some ways.
Because you've got that kind of, you're in it together. And if it's, I think it's a really interesting take on it, because you're the first person I've spoken to that's had a bad team experience. And I find that really interesting. Well
the first person that's honestly told you.
That's been truthful about it. That was going to be my next comment. But it is interesting. And I think with team competition going into the games, there's such a long period of time that you have to spend together. It's not like if you're doing, kind of as you say, these team comps that you've been doing recently or since then, where it's maybe you have a couple of training sessions together and it's a weekend. This is months that you spend together, and in a really, like, you're all at one of the highest levels of pressure that you can put on yourselves, and then you kind of put it into to this hugely what could be potentially tense environment, and yeah, you've got to get along with people. So I think it's a good thing you had that experience in a sense, because you won't make
Well, to be fair, I had good team experience when I went to regionals in 2018. Like, that was good, and the boys I knew, obviously, like, I could barely do, like, string together chest bars, so, like, I've come a long way. But, like, the boys, they supported us, you know, and it was like they worked off of us. It wasn't like you know, if we made a mistake, it wasn't like the end of the competition or, you know, so the team dynamic was great. And like, I knew that like they could see from my face if I could do another rep or not. I didn't have to say, you know, that was the team dynamic. Mm-hmm. So I think also coming from that expectation of a team into what I went into, it was just like completely opposite, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it definitely hasn't ruined it. And I do love the essence of team, and it really feels like CrossFit in that environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to ask you one of the quickfire questions at the end now. So going into this year, obviously, we've touched on it a little bit. I want to talk about semifinals first, because firstly, I find it really interesting that you say how much you rehearsed or you know, did these workouts. And if I remember correctly, because it does seem a bit of a blur now, but you were one of the last semifinals, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the two elements of one, knowing the workouts, but having also that period of time to practice them, and then thirdly, seeing others do them. How much did that help going into that weekend? And also, were you paying attention to the other semifinals? Because I know you mentioned you are aware of the athletes surrounding you, but on a global scale, were you watching the other semifinals and kind of taking notes?
I would probably say not as closely, just because I didn't want to I wanted to keep my focus on what I had to do and who I had to compare myself to. And I didn't want to like get freaked out by like looking at the scores from the different regions and being like, well, I'm shit, you know, or like, you know, get that kind of mindset. So I watched people who I support, and mm-hmm. and yeah, that was about it. And then from like doing the workout thing in advance, I think it was a benefit for me, definitely. But I felt actually quite disadvantaged going into the games prep, actually, because by that point I was mentally exhausted from doing the same workouts over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you put everything, I'm sure everyone puts everything into their semi because that's where they qualify. But if I hadn't done any other movements other than the movements that were required for semis, pretty much for like over 3 weeks. And I don't even think, I can't even remember how they released it. I can't even, it felt like forever, but like, I just didn't do a handstand pushup. Like I didn't need to do a handstand pushup. Then by the time the games came around, I felt like my shoulder strength had just decreased because there was really no pressing movements between like after pretty much quarters and till the thing came out, the workouts. So I feel like there were certain things that just like kind of I got lost for me. And because I had like a good handstand push-up workout in quarters, and I was fairly confident going into the handstand push-up workout at the games, and then that was a shit show. So I was like, oh, okay, shoulders are gone and have nothing, you know. So I feel like from that point of view, like I definitely lacked practice in certain other movements.
And then I suppose one of the disadvantages of having a later semi-final is that you then have less time between your semi-final and the games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I in some ways there was that, but then that was also, I guess, like a blessing and a curse, because I was so tired after semis. I was kind of like, well, actually, thank God, it's only like a month until I have to go to the games. But then there's also like, oh, shit, I haven't got accommodation. I haven't done flights. And then there was literally hardly any like reasonably priced accommodation in Texas. So that was like obviously cost me more. And then, yeah, definitely didn't have I didn't really prep any of the workout stuff that was released either. So that was interesting. Like I definitely probably should have practiced or I don't know, done some step ups, something, because holy shit, that was another kind of pain being in Chad. So yeah, I definitely feel if I did qualify again, the mental prep would be probably more after semis than what it was this year. I didn't prep mentally really at all.
Yeah. Is there an element of that? And it's interesting because you say obviously you put all your eggs in one basket this year. Going into semis, did you And I'm intrigued to know your answer because of what you've said about comparing yourself. But did you think you were going to make it going into semis?
I did.
Yeah.
I had this weird feeling in my like gut, and I was like, I don't know how I genuinely I don't normally find myself being this type of person, but there was just something that I felt inside me that I was like, this is your year, you know? And yeah, and that's also I guess something that's a bit intimidating for me next year. I'm like, am I gonna be looking for that feeling this whole time? Like, because I didn't know it was there, but I felt something. So I did feel confident, but I'm not like one of those arrogant, confident people, you know? So in fact, on the Saturday before semi started, so semi started on the Friday, the Saturday before, I actually rolled my ankle and I thought I wasn't able to compete. I was like, I thought I was out. I even phoned Evie and I was like, listen, I don't think you should come because she was coming as my coach. She was supposed to fly on Wednesday. And then I was like, I don't think you should come. I was like, I don't think I can compete. I can barely walk on my ankle right now. And this was, I think, on Sunday, I told her that. She was like, well, listen, you still have a few days. Like, I'm only coming on Wednesday. Let's see how it feels after the next few days. And I was like, okay. And I took like anti-inflammatories and I strapped it up. And by the Friday, I couldn't feel it. Like, I was running and everything. So, but to this day, my ankle still hurts. So, it wasn't an imaginary injury. When I rolled it, I felt it. I heard a popping sound and I was like, that's it. I went and Googled all these pictures and I was like, that ligament's definitely gone. But yeah, so that was like really stressful. But in some ways, I maybe think it was a blessing as well because it removed like a little bit of pressure off myself, in some ways. And also like that week that was supposed to be leading up, like deloading, I had to deload even more. So I actually think it worked in my favor. I don't know.
And it's I was wondering if you were going to mention that because at that time Evie was coming on this podcast and we were going back
Yes.
and forth because she was going, I might be going, but I might not. I'm not sure yet. And so we were trying to schedule. So that's quite funny that we were talking at that time and she was going, I don't know if it's going to happen. So it really was, but I think that helps that, as you say, like maybe it helped take that pressure off. And then, in terms of that, what you were saying about the mental prep following that from the games, do you think because you put so much into semis, that's why there was maybe less mental prep going into the games?
Oh yeah, and then it was kind of like I discussed with my coach, and I was like, "Listen, the goal was just to make it. We don't really care about the outcome at the moment. Like, I understand, we haven't been able to do all the things we have to do because I'm actually like dealing with a shoulder thing as well. So like, now that was also probably partly why I didn't do much handstand push-ups actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, so there was like a bunch of things that I was like, well, I don't know what's happening with my shoulder. I was supposed to have an MRI before semis, and then I thought, hell no, I don't want to know what's going on until after semis because I don't want any mind games. But then I had the MRI after semis, and then I saw, I was like, oh great, okay. So now, like, I've got most of my range in my shoulder, pain only in certain positions. Do I go like the conservative route or do I go the operative route? Like, there was that kind of like, oh, I don't know what to do. Anyway, I've spoken to so many people, mixed opinions, but now I'm still just trying like conservative route. And yeah, if that works, then it works. If it doesn't, then obviously have to consider the other options again. But yeah, that was also a bit of a mental shit show because yeah, it's when you know you've got something in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, if I do I don't know, bar muscle up. Am I gonna like rip my shoulder out or something like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of them things, isn't it, that's quite interesting where and again, it's this whole season thing, isn't it? Because you're like, do I risk it for this season? And miss out, or do I carry on and then potentially ruin it for next season? And it's this kind of vicious cycle that you have. But obviously, ultimately, you went to the games and you competed, and it still feels, even for me, quite hard to talk about the games, I think, because of obviously the tragedy that happened.
Yeah, definitely.
As someone who was there and who, you experienced it, come like. if you can describe it, like, what was that weekend like?
So obviously it's like that started with that incredible high, the right, you know, the day, the night before, like, you know, it started how it should have. But I can say this and I still feel the same way, like nothing about it afterwards was enjoyable. And like for a number of reasons, part of it obviously being because it's devastating what happened, and like no one should have to go through that. Obviously Luca and his family and everything. But then it's also part of like everything that everyone else had riding on that same moment, you know, and nothing compares to loss like that and death. But like the you can't ignore, well, certainly I didn't feel like I could ignore, and maybe there's something wrong with me, but like the disappointment I had for my individual experience, like that's not what I would have wanted.
Yeah, of
And
course.
like I don't say it without with any you know, like out of any ill means towards, like out of respect for what happened. But yeah, it was just, that was also devastating because I didn't know how to go forward and feel the experience. I knew in my heart that I wanted to continue to compete because I had come so far for it. And but I also felt like everyone is entitled to their own feelings around it, you know? Like some people just left and couldn't continue, and like I didn't have any issue with that. Some people stayed and continued, like I didn't have any issue with that. What I did struggle with over the weekend was the people that stayed but then were very vocal about how they felt. And I'm like, well, if you felt this way, why are you still here? Because you can just remove yourself. Because now, like for people that are trying to, you know, show their respects, and like I didn't know Laza at all. I knew Luca, but I didn't know Laza. And in my thinking, like, because I've lost my dad, I was thinking my dad wouldn't want me to stop doing what I love, and he would want me to, you know, like give my all. And like we're doing what literally Lazar dedicated his life to, you know. So in my head, that was like how I justified it. But everyone was obviously different, and then I felt very judged, and yeah, judged by people who I didn't expect to judge me so harshly, which kind of was a bit shitty as well. But it just is what it is, you know. It's such a high emotional time that
Yeah.
you can't then judge them for judging you, because these emotions are not ones which we're, I don't know, prepared for.
And it's interesting, like, your thoughts on that, because for me watching, obviously it was, you know, a tragedy. It was hard to watch anyhow. But and with you, I didn't judge anyone for their decision, whether they chose to stay, whether they chose to leave. It was everyone's individual decision. But what I, from afar, really struggled with was every time you kind of went on social media, the comments that people that continued to compete were getting. You know, I know a lot of knew a lot of the athletes, and you feel quite protective of them, weirdly, even from afar. You know, I may not know them well, but you know, people I've had on the show or people I've spoken to, and as you say, it's a very individual decision, and it's no one else's to judge. And I was w wondering kind of how much of, you know, I mean, this is kind of a two-parter question, because I'm gonna assume that it's very, very hard to compete at your best in an environment like that with so much around you. So that was kind of my first question, is how physically did it feel? And then my second question was the judgment that we're speaking about. How did that lay on to your kind of performance, I suppose, for the weekend?
So I think for me, what the hardest part was everything around being on the competition floor. So the before, the after, and like being next to other people who were either struggling or, you know, making comments about it. Like some people literally just were very to themselves. And then some people would be like, make comments to you while you're standing in the corrals. And then you're like, you just felt wrong. And it would feel different. I think it would have been different if everyone kind of just, you know, kept their opinions to themselves. But obviously we can't ask people to do that. But yeah, I found that that was the hardest part of stepping, because once you actually, once 3, 2, 1 go, like it's a different, you're kind of like have a switch.
Yeah.
And that gun goes.
Over, right?
Yeah. And even when you're like exhausted and maybe not feeling like you can push yourself like you should have, you're still like having that like physiological response. It's yeah, so I feel like that was probably when you were the most, personally felt like the most clear-headed. But then you step, as soon as you step onto that finish mat, you just remember, you know? And then it was like I even came back and then people would be like, oh, well done at the games, but, you know, we couldn't watch you because we couldn't bear it. And I was like, then I felt so ashamed, you know? And I was like, yeah, so that was really hard. And I think on the Sunday, Sunday or Monday, it actually even makes me feel emotional, like talking about it. We went to, I was staying in Texas in Dallas before we went to the Fort Worth. And there was this gym called Downtown, CrossFit Downtown. And the owner there, I didn't meet his wife, I only met Ken. And like, I couldn't stop crying on Monday. Like the whole, I was just like almost hysterical, just because I was like, I feel like you're in shock over the weekend and you don't even know what just happened. And like, you don't know how you should act. You're there to compete, but you're, you know, so like, I just, I think on Monday was like the biggest kind of just like wake up call of like the reality of it. Like, because there was so much else, so much noise around you after it happened that you were kind of just like on autopilot mode. And I realized that on Monday when I was just like, all of a sudden I just had this like overwhelming the emotions, you know. So yeah, that was very intense after. But once like I said, once 3, 2, 1 go, and like one of the cool, I will say the field event was very cool just because the crowd, there was so much energy, and like it was a different energy. It wasn't in the stadium where you like, you know, and again it was like a running event, so you're like, I don't know, not in doing anything skillful, you're just there running, you know.
Yeah, it was. I think even from a watching perspective, I think, and I, you know, maybe it was because of the memorial that they, you know, put on in the morning, but the from watching the kind of under the arena lights felt very like somber and very sad, and I think taking it out of the arena, as you say, it kind of just shifted a little bit. And I think even, you know, I only was watching it on TV, and but you could kind of see the shift in I think everyone. And maybe it was just, you know, a change of scenery and a bit of a
the crowd,
you can kind of disassociate for a minute, right?
Yeah, but the crowd was absolutely unreal. Like, I've never experienced anything like that before. And I kind of thought, and the thing, actually, I didn't think that then, I think it now. But I kind of thought, like, I guess this is kind of what it probably should have felt like, you know, like the scream, the people screaming for you as you come around the corner, and just like, because I mean, us athletes, like, we definitely didn't bring the energy, like, we didn't have that energy. But the people really bought it on in that arena, and that was, I don't even want to say it was cool, because under the circumstance, I guess it wasn't cool, but yeah.
I know what you mean. And I think, you know, you have to find little moments personally, and nothing will take away from, you know, the way people feel. But ultimately, as you say, it was your individual CrossFit games as well. And you've worked that moment. So if you can find an element of enjoyment or, you know, gratitude in that, then you should.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, that's right. And I don't, and I've had lots of obviously mixed things coming back from people as well, like who are supportive of it. And because it's, we're not looking at the bigger picture, it's more of like just a personal thing. Yeah. So when you look at it like that, it is, you can kind of be, I guess, proud and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we spoke kind of at the beginning of this chat of, we don't know what next year looks like, and you're not quite sure what it looks like. I suppose My question would be, if the season continues as normal, do you see yourself going back, and whether it be all in or just kind of partaking as maybe you have in the past, do you see yourself going back again?
I feel like it would be difficult to go into a like semi-final without that like want, that desire to like win. And I think that's where like the mental game will come in a little more. I feel like not doing the open and the quarters would just be weird in general because it's what I've been doing for so long. So, and I almost wouldn't not want to do that because I actually like that part of the season. Like in the past, we've had like, I've been with QHP and there's always been like a bit of a training group that does it all together and it's been like quite a vibe. This next year will be different because I've switched programs, but yeah, so I don't really know, but my top priority for me now is just to get my body healthy and to build confidence in myself again. So like to build confidence in my shoulder at the moment because I don't want to be worrying about it on the competition floor, you know? And yeah, to just kind of do that and find the enjoyment. I think if the season rolls around and I'm feeling great, I definitely will pursue. Yeah. Cause I Yeah, I mean, I'm not entirely sure what other comps are even coming up. Like, I was invited to Wodapalooza. That would have been cool. But then it's such an expense to go all the way to Miami. And I went once in a team with Evie. And that was really fun. And I thought the thought of going there as an individual, again, I would be going on my own. I was like, I don't know if I want to do all this on my own, you know? So, yeah, I like having someone there.
I think under you, that is so understandable. And I think particularly something like Wodapalooza, where, I'm sure it would be you'd completely be fine alone, and you'd end up mingling and being with people, but it seems such a kind of party, and the vibes are high. And so actually having people with you and being part of a team or whatever it may be, probably just makes it that bit more exciting, right?
Yeah, exactly. I had so much fun the last time, and then I was like, I was thinking going there now, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go there on my own. Like, to be honest, like, I don't know if people just aren't that friendly in general, but they're all, because all these girls at the games have been competing with each other for so many years, they all know each other. And I would say not very many of them were open to being friendly, to like the new people. Like,
Interesting.
the new girls, like, the rookies, I mean, like, they were all pretty friendly. Obviously, it's our first time, but like the girls who've done that, been there, done that, I suppose they've done it so many times, they've got a lot more riding on it, so maybe they just need to be more focused. So I don't take anything away from them acting that way, but yeah, it is quite hard when you do go to these comps and you're like competing with the best and then you're kind of like an outsider as well. Yeah, that was quite interesting. So I was thinking, if I go to Wodapalooza, like all the games athletes are going to be there. I'm going to just be there on the sidelines again, being like, oh, hi. So,
You never know. It
no.
seems more, I think people, I don't want to say people take it less seriously, but I kind of think they do in a way as well,
Yeah.
if you know what I
Although
mean.
the prize money at Wodapalooza is really good. So I think, like, if you're gunning for that top spot, you're like taking it pretty serious.
Absolutely. Well, who knows what the future holds? I know that we will be supporting you in whatever you do. So I hope whatever it may be, it's what you want and it's what you need, and it goes well. So
Oh,
that's
thank
all the
you.
positive vibes. I can't let you go though without asking you some very quick fire questions, one of which I can't
No.
wait to ask.
Okay, let's hear it.
Firstly, what is your favorite lift?
I would say probably a snatch. Another reason why at the semis I was like, when I saw snatches, I was like, yes.
Yeah, that was a great workout. It was fun to watch. What about your favorite overall movement?
That's actually a hard one because I probably maybe a bar muscle up.
Your favorite benchmark wad?
Oof, truth be told, I haven't done a lot, but maybe I'd say Jackie.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. I don't know
Yeah.
why. I mean, bar muscle ups and yeah.
I've done Jackie like a couple of times, and I actually quite like that one. Yeah.
And this is the question I'm excited to ask. If you were to build a dream team to go to the games with, who would you have with you? Not necessarily the games, but to go to an event with, who would you have with you?
Well, I would definitely choose Evie because she's like one of my long-standing training partners and like definitely one of my like best friends here in the UAE. Oof, now the boys is a hard one. Cause I feel like we have like a lot of strong girls here, but then not so many like boys who I'd be like, all right, those would be good in the team. Oh my God, you stumped me. This has been
It's
my
a really
problem
tough
though.
question.
Because I'm always like, okay, I'll have Evie, like that's a done deal.
We should probably clarify as well, because we've spoken about Evie a lot. Evie Hollis. You can go.
Yes.
But if you're listening, go listen to Evie's episode, which is great as well. And we talk about you. So there you go, vice versa.
No, so two boys which I thought could be probably quite good in a team is Bruno and Kalyan, because they're here. In the UAE, and they live in Al Ain, and they're both really good. And I think they could be good in a team. Otherwise, I've got a friend that trains out of Eliath. His name is Jake. I really, really like Jake a lot, and I would love to be on a team with him. But then I just need one more. I don't know. We'll have to come
A
up
tough
with.
question, right?
But it is a tough question. And the thing is I know, like at the moment, all of these people want to go individual. So my dream team is not looking promising.
Look at you know, you can pick anyone. It can be people that are retired. It's a dream, you
Yeah, I know, but I like dreams that could be real, you see.
know.
No, I don't know. I have to think of another guy. If it could be anyone. I'm also just thinking about personality wise. Like, I know me, Evie, and Jake would work really well on a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, we'd have to find a fourth. Because at the moment, none come to mind. To be honest, I follow so many more girls than boys that I don't actually know a lot of the boy CrossFitters.
And
So I wouldn't
also,
even.
teams are all about the girls. Everyone knows that. It's all about the girls.
True,
If you've got the
true.
good girls, you're a
Yeah.
winner.
That's true. Well, it's going to have a big question mark by my fourth teammate.
Well, there we go. Well, who knows? Maybe next year we'll fill the question mark.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Evie nearly made a team last year. Did she say anything about that in her
I
podcast?
think she did, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was this last season, actually. I know. I wasn't included in that team though. Anyway, no hard feelings. It's fine.
Well, you know, never
I
know
had my
what's
own
to come in the future.
goals. Yeah.
But no,
Anyway.
Gemma, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat and look forward to seeing what comes next.
Yeah, you're in the UK, right?
Yes, yeah.
Hopefully I can come do a comp there sometime.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you.